Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. My name is Justin.
Hi, Justin.
I'm your host.
Oh, hi.
With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the TheKevinMiller.com.
Nice. Nice with the pause, too.
Yeah.
It was good.
So I roll. It's all about the dramatic pause.
Nice.
This is our new theme song, Robot Rock by Daft Punk. Hope you enjoy it.
We really like it.
I think it's so funny, too.
I Shazam tagged this because I was like, oh, this has got to be our new song.
When we first started talking about a new theme song or whatever, I said, hey, let's get some of that Daft Punk that you like. And you're like, I don't know if there's any songs.
Did I really?
Yeah. I was like, what about all the ones that were in those movies for a while? And you're like, nah.
I'm pretty jerky. You know, Justin, I think we should have a special guest tonight.
How are we going to get one together so last minute, though?
I don't know. Let's just call somebody on Skype. Who can we call?
Well, a lot of people like Sly.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe we could find somebody who's responsible for making Sly.
Yeah, maybe.
No? You don't like that idea?
What else you got?
We could call Patrick Stewart.
Oh, let's call him.
You want to call him?
Yep.
Do you have his number?
I want to hear that one instead.
Do you have his number?
No, but I have Nate Fox's. Game designer at Sucker Punch.
So here's what we do to ruin a little bit of magic. We talked to Nate Fox. He answered all the questions that at least we found from the last minute notice that we put out on the Facebook. And we talk a lot about getting into video games. We talk a lot about what's cool about video games. And I make things uncomfortable every once in a while.
That's your lot in life.
That's what I bring to the table.
Yeah, yeah. This table, actually.
So we're on a new table in what I'm going to call the Second Funniest Podcast Studios.
I love it.
Which is the third bedroom in my apartment. So
you are such a high roller. You have a third bedroom.
Wait.
Oh, good for you.
So that's where we are. I don't know what else to say. So
hey, let's hear what Nate's got to say.
Enjoy
about
the interview with Nate Fox from Sucker Punch, because I sure did.
Studer.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, is this Nate?
This is, in fact.
Oh, great.
I don't have a video camera, so you're going to have to only see me through my voice.
I can feel it.
Well,
can you
see
us?
To you, Nate. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi there.
Got some facial hair.
Right? It's pretty good. Makes me manly. It's good. Nice.
I'll let you stare. You were manly before the beard.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice.
I have a cable to let you stare.
That's okay. He doesn't have to stare. He can stare at the wall.
I'm inclined to ask. Your podcast is called The Second Funniest Podcast.
Yeah. Yes. That's correct.
So, the obvious question,
mm-hmm.
What is the funniest podcast?
The Second Funniest Podcast.
Yeah.
No, right. What is, in fact, is the funniest.
Right, is the second funniest.
Yeah.
But who was on first?
Second.
Funniest podcast.
Right, yeah. .com.
I'm reading you loud and clear.
Well, thanks for taking...
From being at work, I'll tell you.
Oh, good. Yeah, is it busy? You guys are working on a project right now, something.
Yes, we are working hard on Infamous 2.
Nice.
Did you hit record?
I did hit record, yeah.
I just paused it for no reason. I was like, oh, we should be recording this.
We should record this. We are. back to the interview.
Boom.
How far away are you to release date for Infamous 2?
Infamous 2 comes out on June 7th.
Nice. Do you have an advent calendar in your studio there where you just... Tick off numbers and wait till the day.
It's true. Yeah, I have an advent calendar next to my desk, and every day I open it, there's another little shot of caffeine. And I'm always happy. It's always the same thing, but I'm never complaining.
That's awesome. Did someone make that, or is that do they just sell them through Sony?
Oh yeah, no. Sony gives everybody who works for them a large amount of stimulants. It's the secret why Sony games are so good.
That's right. Oh, it all makes sense now.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know, I was curious. I'm not as much, I guess, as an insider as maybe Kevin may already know the answer to this, but like, how close to the release date are you actually still working on the game? Like, is it like a film where once, like a year before it's released, usually you're done, or are you working right up to the wire?
We work pretty right up to the wire, you know. Hmm. People, it can always be better, right? You always want to make the game as good as possible. And towards the end of working on a game, every change that goes in, you just see it just compounding. Hmm. A good thing gets better, gets even better, gets even better. And there's a lot of enthusiasm because people get psyched.
So when I get excited and I pre-order a game on GameStop, and then I find that I have not gotten my automated phone call telling me that my game is going to be there tomorrow as I anticipated, and they push back the release date, is that usually because things aren't going well, or is it because, hey, things have gotten so much cooler, we want to spend more time on it, or a little bit of both, or what?
I wouldn't pretend to know. I bet every game's different. I will be honest and say I've never worked on a game that's got, kind of pushed back like that.
Lucky.
And I know, totally lucky. Because it really, I mean, I can't imagine that any time a game gets pushed back, it isn't a really, really good thing, right? Because it means the game's going to be better. So, I mean, it's kind of a bummer, right, if it doesn't come when you thought it would, but you're always better off if it comes later.
Or games that never come, like StarCraft Ghost.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I would have loved to have played that game.
Yeah, that would have been pretty sweet. Now, has there ever been something that you wanted to include in a game that didn't make it just because there wasn't enough time?
I wanted to include a biopic about you, Kevin, in Sly 3.
like a film?
Like a full-on, let's follow him around for a week.
Who would play Kevin in the biopic?
Yeah.
A biopic?
You mean literally like it's really about Kevin, almost like a documentary biopic? Or do you mean like Lifetime original biopic where, you know, some retired soap actor plays Kevin?
I totally meant a retired soap actor.
Got it. That's what I figured.
Kevin's qualified to portray himself.
Probably not.
I don't know his real name, but I would love to see Bo from Days of Our Lives play you.
Well, anybody from Guiding Light. Those guys all need work.
Right? Oh, poor Guiding Light. Is it gone?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to us, a couple of old biddies talking about our stories.
80 years of television history down the tubes.
Well, let's actually, I know we got sidetracked because we were kind of talking about Infamous 2 and what's involved with that. Let's kind of just try to back up a little bit, hit a reset button, and go from scratch, because we both want to know.
There's a lot of analogies.
That's what I do. We both wanted to know how you got into games. Like, what was your path? What was your story?
Because my experience of Nate Fox is that he's incredibly passionate about games.
I'm a geek. If that is your positive way of spinning Nate's a geek, you did a great job there, Kevin. Well said. I got into games by playing them, man. I mean, just like every other kid, spent way too many hours in my basement playing. In my case, it was the original Legend of Zelda.
Nice choice. Like NES.
It really sucked me in. Yeah, on the NES.
With the side screen, you had to go screen to screen.
Yeah. Nice. It just hit me at the right time, and I thought that was just awesome. And then I got older, and I went to art school.
Oh.
And I ended up talking to a guy who was in the industry, and I didn't know at the time that I knew about games until I talked to somebody who was in the industry. Said, "How do you know this?" And it's just a question of almost like paying attention while you watch things.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I didn't know that I was sort of playing games critically until somebody told me, "Oh, that's not normal." So for instance, like maybe you guys, when you watch movies because you're in the industry, you see like the lighting rig behind, you know, this just off frame.
Yeah.
And you tell people about it and you're like, oh man, isn't that crazy? All this weird light for a night scene. And then the people near you get pissed off, right? Because they didn't recognize it, right?
Or like when you tell somebody that reality TV isn't real and it just crushes.
Oh, sure, right. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that kind of thing. So I didn't know it at the time, but the way I was playing games was good and preparing me for working in games.
So you played games with a critical eye. What kind of things did you like? Because here's the thing: like I love games and I've played them for as long as I can remember and could, but I don't remember having that idea of like, well, if I saw something that I didn't like, did you then have an idea to fix it? Were you already into programming, or was it just I wish that this Excite Bike had a little bit more realistic physics engine? You know what I mean? What do you mean criticism? What kind of stuff are you talking about?
Certainly it's kind of scrutinizing the gameplay. Although when you're a kid, you don't really like. Dude, I went to art school. I can't program. I'm like a caveman guy. Other than like a mission editor for like Warcraft 2 or making your own track and Excite Bike and doing editor design like that, I would make a lot of board games.
Oh, really?
Play those. Oh, yeah. And later on, the kind of question actually that I asked this dude at Activision when I met him was whether or not Thrustmaster had done some deal with MechWarrior 2 to kind of co-promote the peripheral with the game and if they did any game design choices around that promotion.
Oh, wow. So the guy's like, that's kind of a deep question.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was. I just thought like, oh, did you know what came first? Is it the chicken or the egg, right? Like, did they make the joystick and then make the game around the joystick or vice versa?
Yeah.
And what features of the joystick were sort of integral in the design of the game? And mainly because I was a big fan of Mech Warrior, you know, I wanted to see how they made those choices.
Right. Yeah. So then you went to, and what was your focus in art school?
I was a very, very bad illustrator.
2D illustration?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Although I have to say, whenever anybody asks me, like, what's the best preparation for going into game design?
That was
I
our next
say
question.
Theater. I am not lying to you. Did you guys do theater?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Wow. Well, you're
theater of the mind, Nate.
Right. You see it? I just landed a plane.
I won't say no to the suggestion, Kevin.
Good work. You've been taking your improv classes.
Art boy, well, yes, Andon.
I mean, see, if you guys are in theater, you know, like, there is no experience for teenagers where they're given authority to really screw up as hard as theater.
Right.
Thank you.
Did you do theater in high school or college?
Oh, yeah, totally. High school and college. And I loved it because you have this experience of collaborative, you know, creative work where, you know, if I suck, then Kevin, you really got to help me get better because I'm going to drag the whole show down. And you have to learn how to put together sets, and you never have enough money to build what you really want. So you have to be kind of canny, and you have to do your own lighting, and you think about everything from the audience's perspective.
Huh.
So it's this
is
really,
this is lining up pretty well.
Did you have a teacher? What's going on? Like, why are you in a high school where you're doing some kind of guerrilla theater production? There's no guidance whatsoever. Well, we did. But
you said you were theater geeks. Well, you're making me feel warm. And,
no.
Like,
it's just that you painted a picture that makes it sound like you were the little rascals.
Yeah, who decided to put on a play in their backyard because there's no teacher saying, like, we had a teacher who said, here's how you build a set if you were working at a union theater.
Right.
Here's how we're going to do it because all we have is leftover pieces of 2x4 and plywood from the wood shop. You know what I mean? Like, so I can relate to that aspect, but it's just funny to sound, it does. It sounds rogue and guerrilla. Right. Like, you guys are commandeering the gym to build a set.
Yeah, they totally modeled that TV show Glee after us.
Oh, got it. Which character are you?
I'm the kid in the wheelchair.
We saw that with Bentley. We definitely picked up on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All in there.
I've never watched Glee. Noticed, Kevin. You seem pretty observant.
I've never watched Glee. That was the problem.
Nor have you ever acknowledged my handicap.
That was awkward a few times.
Hey, Nate, want to go stand for a jog?
Why will you not stand up and shake my hand? Like a man. Well, I had a question, too, that's along the same aspect like what we're talking about with your suggestion of theater, is that now there seems to be this outcrop of late night television commercials for, hey, you don't have a job because you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching television. Why don't you go to a video game college? I don't know. Obviously, you probably don't have experience with these, but do you know anybody that you've worked with? Do you think that these work?
And do they have improv classes
and theater
during these classes, during these schools?
Yeah, we'd work with a bunch of people who went to a video game college in the Seattle area called DigiPen.
Mm. DigiPen?
DigiPen, yeah. And they've produced some great, great alumni. Wow. Who, like, you know, the team that made Portal.
Yeah.
They came out of DigiPen. Valve? Yeah, they all went to Valve. We've got a bunch of great DigiPen students. I sit within 10 feet of one. He's a sharp cookie. Although generally they are trained more as programmers, they do have an art department, but a lot of the designers generally come from the programming kind of side. But you know, I've been really impressed with their curriculum.
I have another question too that I hope is in the same vein, but that just made me think with programmers being the emphasis coming from DigiPen. Is there like a particular area that if somebody's looking to get into that, like, hey, there's a huge demand for this, you know what I mean? Like, there's a huge demand for nurses that they're to the point where they're traveling all over the country. Is there like, do you need programmers more than somebody else?
Because when I look on Gama Sutra, the number one requested job is in HR.
We need somebody to build green pamphlets. We are harassing the hell out of each other.
I don't honestly know. I mean, you always want everybody, frankly.
Yeah.
Programmers are kind of the engine that makes all things, frankly, right? Right, okay. Like, there's nothing to work on without a really great set of engineers. So they're sort of fundamental.
So video
games, I hate to admit it because I'm not one.
Video games aren't like a band where like everybody wants to be the lead guitar or the vocalist. Like, there isn't a department or area that is equivalent to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there really isn't, man. Like, you know, I work in the design department, and of course, I think the design is the coolest possible thing.
And what does design entail? Because it's not like the movie industry where everybody knows you're a cameraman, you're an actor, you're a director, and you can kind of figure it out. Games are a little confusing, I think, to an outsider not knowing anything about the industry. So you're a game designer, and what is under your umbrella?
So generally speaking, game design is responsible for creating the interactive experience, which another way to say it is we just glue together everybody's work so that it hopefully holds water and makes sense. But, you know, we certainly are nothing more than sort of a binding force. You know, the artists make awesome art. Programmers make an engine that is great at doing certain things, not as good as doing other things. We might not have a certain prop or an environment. And so you work within the constraints of what you have, and then you try and make a story or a encounter that feels compelling.
Nice.
That's it. Cool. It's kind of a MacGyver job, really.
Right, because I think when you've told me before that some of the levels for the Sly games, you actually develop in some low-end version of the tools that the developers will work on, right?
That's true, yeah. For the Sly games, I would lay out the space in the 3D program called Maya. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I'm a crummy illustrator, so I would do sort of the first pass on art, and it would be very, very functional, so I could get across the point that, like, okay, this is how high a rooftop should be, so that when you're on it, you can still see down in the street and get freaked out by guards, but still have the landscape of rooftops ahead of you as options. Hmm. So I kind of figure out how it's going to function, and then I'll give it to some artists to make it look awesome.
And so how much of the architecture would be the same or change between your initial design to the final concept?
Oh, all of it.
Oh, really?
I mean, when you say architecture, do you mean like the basic blocks?
Yeah. If you were doing a rough sketch of a building and then of the entire level, essentially, and you hand it off, is that what it looks like in the game? If we looked at your original development, would we be like, oh, yeah, this exactly looks like Paris?
In Sly Cooper, you
can be honest, or we can delete all this. Like,
no.
I've already hit stop.
So in the Sly Cooper games, when I would give my like level geometry over to the art team, it would sort of be at like a Nintendo 64 level, right? Where it's all just blocks, and you know they're kind of spaced around, and those blocks and the spacing and all that. Actually, we shipped with that. So that didn't change at all.
That makes sense.
However, the detail that got put in there, the shapes on the rooftops and the cool window panes and all that is totally artist-based. And they would funk it out, too, and make it really kind of plump and cartoonified. But
so your blueprint goes unchanged. They make it cool looking.
Yeah, dude, nice. Totally. There's nothing cool about my blueprint, because I am a crummy artist.
I wanna make sure that we didn't cut your story short, because we have a lot of kids that listen to this show, and a lot of them write in and say, hey, I want to get into making video games. I want to do this. So I want to make sure that when we last left off with your story, right, you were in art school with an ambition to get into games. Did we find out how you actually got into it and how that happened?
Oh, well, like I said, I talked to that guy from Activision who I asked about the Thrustmaster promotion, and he was a little bit surprised that I was interested in a peripheral deal. And so he said, oh, why don't you come into the studio and we can talk about it. And so I went in, and they offered me a job to play games and do criticism of other games to kind of draw out the features in competing products that would be cool or bad.
So you weren't a tester. You were like an analyst.
Like a Q&A almost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what he had recommended that I do, and I actually said no to the job because the art school was in.
Oh, right.
It was really demanding on my time, and but it, so I said no, but it told me that, hey, you can work in games,
right?
And which was fantastic, right? Because I love video games more than, you know, my family.
Well, now Sucker Punch is your family.
Yeah.
Now I find that interesting. Is that moment when this guy offers you a job, and even though you have to turn, because the way you tell it to me almost makes it seem like, oh, I got offered this job, but I got other things going on. But I can hear through what we've talked about your love for games. Is it something that you were like, you mean this is like seriously a career that I can do? And you walk away from that going, okay, I got to finish art school, but that's going to be my end game.
Yeah, totally. I, as soon as he kind of brought up the fact that this was a real career option, I thought, screw it. This is what I got to do.
That's cool.
And so I tried to put myself in a situation where, I started learning how to do 3D modeling animation so that I would have a skill that would be kind of
applicable,
useful in parlaying into ultimately game design, which is where I really wanted to go, frankly. So,
right. And so how did you do that? You took classes in 3D modeling. Did they have them at the school there, or?
Yeah, I ended up taking classes in 3D modeling animation. And then my first job was as an animator and just kind of was, frankly, a squeaky wheel complaining about design until somebody gave me a chance to start doing it. And then I tried not to screw up.
Well, let's connect.
I've been trying not to screw up ever since.
Aren't we all? Let's connect those two dots. How do you transition from, you know, art school graduate into animator, and how did that work out?
Yeah.
I just apply to a lot of jobs, man.
So it is just like you're fresh out of college. You're no different than a business major, and you're going to go to every place that you could possibly work. And you're just saying, hey, here's my resume. Hey, here's my resume. And then is it a matter of like calling and just kind of being persistent in hopes that somebody will go, okay, come on in?
No, actually, it's really easy, believe it or not.
Well, how long ago was this? Do you think the industry has changed since this story? Or?
I think the industry has changed a little bit. Okay. You know, I was applying as an artist, right? And so your resume, frankly, doesn't matter at all.
Right.
I mean, you could, it doesn't matter at all, you know, where you went to school, what your GPA was.
So it's more of a portfolio?
Is your portfolio.
Okay, okay.
I mean, they look at your portfolio and they say, wow, that looks good, or holy smokes, that is not good. And
so, thanks, but no thanks.
Did you have those? Did you have people that are like, this is not what we are looking for at all? Or was it ever, do they politely say nothing?
They politely say nothing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's great.
you send the portfolio out, right? Or
right.
You try and go to like a career fair or something like that. But your portfolio says whether or not you're good at making art. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of liberal arts schools and keeping your GPA up and all of that business. But at the end of the day, what really got me the job was just my reel.
You're actually talent, yeah. So how did you get hooked up with the Sucker Punch gang?
Oh,
I was
dating this chick who did improv in Seattle. And one of the guys who did improv with her was starting a video game company.
Right. Is that Bruce?
That's Bruce Ober.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, is this also the same improv group? Because I've met Matt. Is that the same improv group then?
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, it is all the same. Wow.
That's funny.
So that improv group hooked me up.
And so at what point, because before the Sly Games, Sucker Punch produced Rocket for the N64. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so were you there with them from day one? You were part of the Rocket team?
I did work on Rocket, and it was fun.
So you've been with Sucker Punch from day one?
No. Oh. I came in like in the last third of Rocket's development,
Got it. And how many people were part of that team at that time?
We were about 14 people.
Got it. And now?
I think it's a little bit hard because we're hiring people left and right. I think we're about at 100.
Wow. That's great.
Nice. Now, I'm sorry if I keep missing details. I just want to make sure that we cover everything.
But where can we send our portfolios?
Right?
I have
headshots. Is that close
please
enough?
Please apply.
Of different
we're
facial
always
expressions.
Looking higher. So Sucker Punch job boards are open.
You have no idea how much you just open a can of worms. Yeah. Let me tell you about our Facebook page and our email account since this whole thing has started. There are a lot of kids who are huge. Like 99.9% of our listeners now are Sly Cooper fans. Yeah. And they are
or maybe
like,
80.
When
maybe.
Can I get a job at right. Sucker Punch? What do I need to do?
But I imagine these people are also on the forums. You guys, because you guys have a nice online community of your own.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Where I want to know, where were you? Can we know where you were working before the transition to Sucker Punch? Is it anything
yeah.
known?
I was working at a place called Sierra Sports Northwest, and I'll tell you
oh, yeah.
what really turned me off. Was they had me working on a professional bull riding game.
Awesome.
I know. It sounds good. I was in charge of animating the cowboys. They got mauled by the bulls.
Oh, that sounds pretty great.
That sounds great, however. But that turned you off?
They were nice people, but I wasn't enthusiastic about it.
And are they still around, Sierra Sports Northwest?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Can't find them on the Google.
It's a rough economy.
Yeah.
A lot of people died.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of good people.
A lot of good Sierra Sports.
All the best cowboys got mauled.
Was that an arcade or a console game?
It was a PC game.
Oh, wow.
It was back in the era of force feedback joysticks. You guys remember those?
Yeah.
So you'd be, you know, using the joystick and it would fight you like a bull.
Yes.
Without the gording.
Yeah, because if you get a controller that can gord you, that's a whole problem you got with the law department.
So I want to know, too, then, if we're following your story, I hope I'm not walking on any of your questions, Kevin. But
I just wanted to know if he had figured out a cure for cancer, but it's okay. Go
ahead. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. I want to know, how does Sly Cooper come about? Because, again, we have a ton of our listeners are humongous fans.
Yeah.
Like, how, were you involved in that process? Is it, you know, like, how does that happen?
Sly Cooper was...
I love to hear you say his name because it's like Sly Cooper 2 has that little video in the beginning where you can see like behind the scenes. And mm-hmm. that's pretty much exactly how that video starts. It's with you going, Sly Cooper is... Yeah, a little deja vu there. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, yeah, it's because I'm not very quick on the uptake. Sly's, he came about by a lot of people just making crap up.
Really?
Well, we had this idea. I didn't have this idea. I think it was our art director who thought, oh, you know what is totally awesome? Raccoons have masks on. You know who else wears masks? Thieves. And he was right. He was a smart guy. So I give all credit to him.
That's pretty great.
I'm sorry I'm laughing so hard, but I just like the idea that this great game and all these listeners love and everything, it sounds like a Cheech and Chong sketch.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's cool, Cheech?
What's that, man?
Raccoons have like masks on, man.
Oh, yeah, bro.
But hold on, it doesn't end there, dude. You know what else?
Yeah, what's it?
Thieves wear masks.
Dave's not here, man.
I just blew my. Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad I asked that question. So at what point do we start listening to the stoner that came up with that? Do we go, you know what, maybe Dave's got an idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty great. So then you guys had a huge amount of success with Sly. Why? What inspired you to move on to a superhero game like Infamous, or specifically Infamous?
We're all geeks, dude.
Yeah.
In case I didn't hit that hard enough on the head. We are all geeks here in the office. And, dude, superheroes are awesome, man.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're awesome. Who doesn't read graphic novels and just think this is the, you know, it?
What was your favorite graphic novel?
Watchmen.
Oh, nice. Good choice. How'd you think it compared to the film?
Come on.
Hello? Are you still there, Nate? Hello? I think he hung up on us.
Well, I think it's fair. I pushed him out.
Graphic novels are freaking great. And, you know, the first time you play Grand Theft Auto, I don't know y'all, but, like, I just thought, man, I wish I could fly and just shoot lasers out of my eyes in here. You know?
Wow, that's great. That's a
solid
point.
It feels so big and real, and you're like, I just want to, you know, knock bash heads in.
Yeah, instead of just running around and firing a gun was great, but yeah, that's true. Wanting to do something fantastic.
You know, I never thought of that when I played the Infamous game, is that it is that. It is all the fun of a Grand Theft Auto without the awkward violence, you know what I mean, that you feel of it being so real. Like, where you're like, oh, I just bought a prostitute and then killed her in my car and took the money back.
Well, if you have a soul,
it made me giggle a little bit, but now I feel dirty. But when I played it, it was like, I'm gliding on a subway rail. This is awesome. Sorry, I blew up your house there, person. Like, I didn't mean to shoot you. I was trying to get the bad guy. I'm sorry. This is so much fun.
That's pretty much how you play games, too.
I talk to the TV all the time.
Do you have the running commentary?
Yeah, I do. That's play awesome. By play.
And then his 2-year-old son will run around and imitate exactly what's happening on the screen. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Really? Does he portray the prostitute or your avatar in that scenario?
Well, weirdly enough, he portrays a prostitute while I'm playing Infamous. I don't know what he's doing when I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, to be honest. There's a lot of spitting, and I think he's trying to shoot electricity, but I'm not sure. Just the spitting is what, because I'm always have to clean off the table.
He needs to work on his articulators. So
I want to know more about the Sly Cooper process, because now we know how what the inspiration was, but then how do all the other characters
come up with a thief idea and you're done, and that's then the game was done.
Is that easy?
Yeah, it's that easy.
No, everybody can do this.
Yeah.
Let's do it right now. Right. That's why there's a rubber ducky in my room. You
rubber
know
duckies.
What's cool?
Yeah,
rubber duckies. Everybody loves them.
Yeah, and you know who else is made of a rubber ducky?
Who?
Ernie from the Muppets.
Oh,
game done.
You can't tell me that. I think that's true. We could put that on a Game Boy or 3DS. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's great.
Anyway,
we just need to go to an improv troupe and get some girlfriend's guy to join us, and we'll be done.
Make a company.
Yeah,
it's gonna be easy. I'm so glad we made this call.
Nate, you have inspired us so much.
So what happens next after we know that raccoons have masks and thieves have masks? Where do we go from there?
Well, frankly, you start looking at games that you like playing, and then you kind of mash them together, dude.
Mm.
Oh,
and that's what those of us who aren't creative do.
I beg to differ, because I think it is that it's a game that's made by a gamer. You know what I mean? I would imagine that everybody there loves games so much that it makes perfect sense to look at things, because that in its own way, because there are kids that write in on our Facebook and they say that you guys are the inspiration behind Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Which, looking at it, is why not? Hey, we like this, Sly Cooper game. Let's make it. Maybe they like games that are a little bit more Grand Theft Auto-ish. You know what I mean? So they go the other way. Not so cartoony. And they try to make it a little more weird. I was going to say weird by having to stab somebody in the throat. I'm just saying. So I don't think it's a non-creative thing. I think it's natural creativity that you think, I like this, I don't like that. Let's put what I like together in a sandwich and make fun, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, I think it's a mistake for anybody to think that they make things completely in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
We all stand on the shoulders of everybody else. For instance, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't invent any of the English words I'm using right now.
I'm sorry? I have made up a few in my day. I'm just going to
really?
Say, yeah. A lot of people don't understand
them. What are they? What do you got?
Well, there was a long time. What was the I like to drink something called milk.
Yeah.
But
you're pronouncing it right now the right way.
I did. I was actually trying to say it the wrong way.
Yeah, that's why
milk.
It came out the wrong way. Yeah.
Milk.
The other one, he says the word pillow, palos.
Palo.
We spent many an hour on this podcast discussing palos and pillows.
I sleep on a palo. You guys call them pillows.
Pillows.
What are
pillows.
Those? I don't know, whatever those are.
Where exactly are you from?
the Skype delay is just long enough where you hit him with these left hooks that are great.
Well, I grew up in Northern California, but I was raised by Northern Texan rednecks. So that's how it meshes together.
And a wolf.
My father was very hairy, and is still. So I want to keep going with this story, unless it's completely boring to you, Nate. I want to know, where. So you guys had ideas of other games that you like, and then where do you go next?
Well, you start mashing them up, dude. You make levels that you think kind of are in the style of the emotional tone that you want to hit.
Hmm.
Like you kind of start by saying, what do I want people to feel when they do this? And then you look for game mechanics and art that match what experience you want to give people.
So cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's you know, it's funny, Nate, when Kevin first told me, he's like, hey, I got this guy who develops games at Sucker Punch and he's interested in talking to us about stuff. This was not the conversation that I pictured in my head.
Because you hadn't met Nate Fox yet.
That's true. That's true. But it's like, it's just interesting how it does to me, even as a guy who loves games, it seems like a world that I'm completely unaware of how it works. But then to hear you say it, like, even though, like, I would have thought that it was a little bit closer to film than what I'm hearing from you. But it's nice. It's like I can instantly get an idea of like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Why not do it that way? You know what I mean?
Well, it's really different than film, right, dude? Because film's just linear and there's no interactivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, those crappy blueprints that I would give to the artists?
Right. They're just
they're
blocks.
They're really useful because they kind of outline interactive opportunities.
Right.
And so it's not just sort of thinking about the world and what, you know, what would look the dopest. It's sort of what would play well. And, you know, there's an experience you get when you watch a friend play a game. I don't know if you guys have ever done that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That looks all right. And then when you play it, you don't look at the world really.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking what the hell you're doing next and you're feeling it and the controller's shaking in your hands. And
yeah, it's like driving a car versus sitting along in the passenger seat.
Totally. It's a really different experience. And so we try and start with the interactive experience and then build from that, because that's what we're really making, right? We're not making a movie. If we were trying to make a movie, we would, you know, suck at it, frankly.
Right. Just make movies.
And people who make movies, they're really good at it. So I don't want to compete with somebody who makes a kick-ass movie like 300, right?
good choice.
Very well, good no, choice. It's, like Zack Snyder makes 300.
Yeah.
Great, great movie. Fucking, it's sorry, I'm swearing.
No, I love it.
It's that good.
It's that good.
It's awesome, right? And then you play God of War,
right?
And you'd say, oh, well, they're the same thing, but they're really not.
No, not at all.
Well, that,
and they're both awesome, but they're just, they both say, oh, this is how each medium is different.
That level of interactivity leads me to another question that I had is, as a developer, what do you guys think of this, you know, this movement of PlayStation Move controllers and the Kinect and things the like?
They're kind of interesting, although I have to say I'm such like a hardcore old school gamer. Mm-hmm. I always just look at them and be like, ah, come on.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I had a feeling you would say that. Yeah. I kind of hoped you would too.
Well, I mean, they're clearly really popular. People love them, man. My girlfriend plays Dance Central like you would not believe.
Oh, yeah.
And it works, you know. I've been trying to get her to play video games with me for years.
Oh, nice.
And Dance Central does it. Rock Band has worked.
Right.
You know, that's it.
Now, do you think that could be a gateway? You go from Dance Central to maybe one of the soccer games or archery or something, and then you hand her the PS Move, and you're like, here, let's try it with a controller in your hand, honey. And then before you know it, she's playing Sorcery, and then she's just playing
Kevin,
Zelda.
Everything you say just sounds filthy.
I've gotten that
first
before.
Then you know you're on to Sorcery.
That's a lot of the Sly fans' favorite thing about this show. It's like, it's kind of weird to hear Sly Cooper say the word sex.
So we start every show with that.
Sex.
I tell a dirty limerick.
Have you convinced your significant others?
No.
Somehow I got them into games.
My wife, the worst, because here's the thing. This is what I thought was going on with the Wii and the PlayStation Move and the Kinect is like, this is guys like us, mm-hmm, geeks, that are having girls with us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If I could make that sound more awkward.
I think I understood what you meant to say. But I know you pretty well.
But my point is that that's a way of trying to bring them into the fold. It's right. Like it's like candy in a white van. You know what I mean? It's like it's, because my, with you, when you brought over the Kinect and we played that dance game, I had no fun.
Yeah, really?
Not from a gamer standpoint.
Yes,
not the same feeling I didn't that I would either. Get from playing like Mass Effect. You know
I like
mean?
Watching your wife. Because she's an accomplished
dancer.
Do her Again, thing and teach my wife how to dance.
I can appreciate the fun of Rock Band, but it does not fulfill my video game need. Yeah. But
you're like, when do I get to jump up and shoot lasers?
Exactly. For my birthday, I wanted our friend, who's a real drummer, to come and play Rock Band.
Right.
That's all I wanted. Yeah. I just wanted to see that. Just like my wife, who's a professional dancer, I wanted to see her do this game too. You know what I mean?
That was
she had a great time doing it. But I just don't see it being, there's something about the controller being the interface that I think connects to the geeky side of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I like about it.
It sounds like I've got you both beat because my wife is on the slippery slope to video game town.
She, really?
Yeah. She's all
You're
about...
You're very newlywed. I'm just saying.
Well, she does it on her own. I'll hand her the iPad and she'll find all sorts of games on there. There was some puzzle game called Askend. She beat that. She was crazy for it.
Go nuts for Carcassonne,
too. Carcassonne, which is a really nerdy game. Yeah. It's a silly board game out of Germany.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Name?
we'll have to play on your iPhone app there. But she eats that stuff up, loves to sit down and play those games. So I told her the other night that she needs to start playing some Guild Wars if she wants to hang out with me in the evenings, because that will kill two birds with one stone.
Man, you still sound filthy.
Yeah, he does not know what stones are.
He doesn't want to hang out with me in the evenings. That'll kill two birds with one stone.
You know what I'm saying?
When you say anything like that,
that's how you sound. He's doing a dead-on impression. It sounds just like you.
You could sing the Barney song with that voice. You'd make him sound like a perv.
Like, if I close my eyes, I don't know who's who. I don't know who's who. And you're my best friend. I've known for... How long? 15
I don't know,
more
13 years?
Or years
I don't know.
Forever,
I've lost count.
Right? He sounds just like you. All he has to do is turn on a little perv.
All right, let's try
his
it.
Voice.
This is me talking.
Uh-huh.
Now, Nate, go.
Got my eyes closed.
This Who is that? Me talking.
This is me talking.
Yeah. Both of you made me tingle in my lower bits.
I don't appreciate that. So back to Nate Fox.
What are you playing now, Nate?
Yeah.
What's fun for Nate Fox?
I am playing, dude, what am I playing? I'm going to out myself. This is super geek. I have been playing a Reiner Knizia game called Samurai on the iPhone a lot.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. I thought I knew my games pretty well.
Have you heard of the QWOP or whatever it is?
Yeah, have you played QWOP? QWOP?
No.
You're gonna love that. We just traded
each other. We had a listener who we recently posted on our Facebook the worst games ever, and a listener said you have to put QWOP, and so Kevin went and tried all these games, and it's an online thing. Like I think if you just Google QWOP, K-W-O-P.
No, Q-W-O-P.
Q-W, yeah. I'm sorry. I said K.
Yeah.
Q-W-O-P, and that's the only letters that you press, and you're like a track and field guy. And the Q and the W control your calves, and the O and the P control your thighs, or maybe it's vice versa.
You will love this game.
You will, you look at it, you're like, this is stupid, but then you get angry. I think here's why it gets to you. You get angry because you're trying to perform the most basic function as a human being besides breathing, and that's walking, and you can't do it. You can't, it's easy. All I have to do is control this guy's legs and make him walk. It's fine. I'm going to figure this out. And you just keep falling and falling and falling.
They've got an iPhone app, too, that's a little different. You use your thumbs, but it's still pretty impossible.
It's great.
Well, so this is just to simulate what it's like to go through physical therapy.
Yes, exactly. With very funny results.
Are you looking at it right now on your computer or what?
I'm looking at you on my computer right now.
All right. I just want to see the way you said that, like you knew exactly what we were talking, like you were already there. Like I was like, wow, that's committed.
I had a friend, and this is not funny, but it's cracking me up, that had to learn how to use his, you know, limbs again some brain trauma. And
so far hilarious.
Just, you know, well, he would laugh about it, but like all the basic stuff that you thought you that you should be able to do, you had to relearn.
Oh man.
Yeah, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. It is if you have that perspective, because I felt the same. My father-in-law, he had a stroke, and he was like, ugh. Like, he was just the idea of being annoyed with how to work his left leg again. Like, that was all he really had trouble with. So,
oh, yeah. It's completely horrible, right? It's like the worst possible thing that you'd have to go through. Well, one of the worst possible things.
Right.
But, you know, I think laughing about it made it easier, at least for my buddy. But this QOP sounds like it's the same thing. Yeah. To give you empathy for people who are relearning how to use their left leg.
I like it.
Now, is this Samurai 2? What's the game you're playing there? I'm looking in the App Store now.
Reiner Knizia.
Oh.
Famous board game designer. Oh, Reiner Knizia's Samurai.
Reiner. I like it. This is what's fun about talking to a video game guy is that he quotes the developer like it's an author of a great novel. Like,
I should have known that.
No. Reiner Knizia is actually a very great game designer. He generally does board games.
Oh, cool.
But many of his board games have been sort of transposed onto the iPhone and the iPad. Dude, it's really geeky.
I love it already.
We know, right?
I'm going to have to look it up.
I'm not talking to a couple of jocks. I played football for a semester.
What are you guys playing right now?
I'm trying to get through. I'm a father, so I'm trying to still get through Mass Effect 2 on my PS3. But I'm also I like to play a little bit of the sports games. Like, I like the Formula One, the F1 2010. I like that one a lot. I'm excited for the new NASCAR game coming out this month. I'm also a big Uncharted fan too. So I'm really stoked about that new one coming. There's a lot of games that are in the pipeline this year that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play that.
So close, yeah.
But I don't have anything other than the Mass Effect 2 that I'm playing right now that I'm like, oh yes.
Oh, you're on it, me too. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm over at. I'm finishing up the Dawn of War 2 Chaos. I think is what it is. The second expansion or the first expansion. Got to beat that up. But then when I'm not doing that, I'm playing Guild Wars. Do you ever dabble with any of the MMORPGs?
No, I'm way too lazy.
It is like a second life. It's true.
Yeah, it's just it would take a lot of time, and I'm antisocial.
So are a lot of people who play these games.
Do they act like it's annoying that you're there?
I was on Star Trek Online once, and I couldn't remember how there's a way to go instantly to full inputs power, and I hadn't played for a month, and I came back on. I'm like, hey, and I'm asking my team. I'm on their team. We're doing something together. I'm like, oh, hey, how do I go to full inputs power? And they're like, oh, how could you ask? Why would you even ask? Why could you? You're such an idiot. You're what a noob. And I'm like, awesome, thanks.
Set phaser to stupid.
Yeah, I wish they were that clever. They just were excited to have somebody to yell at.
That's awesome. That's great.
Did they berate you in the tone of Captain Picard?
I wish. Again, that would have been cool if they were that vocabulary usage worthy, but
listen
no.
Listen to me, number 10. I'm adding a zero on the end of your title because you're a zero, loser.
Is that Sean Connery?
Yeah, or? Why? Who's Picard? Am I wrong?
It's really good.
I'm a Star Wars fan.
We were close. So I would like to know, at any given time working at Sucker Punch, are you working on multiple titles at the same time?
Nope. We are one game house.
Got dudes. It.
And it's great because when everybody works on one game, the esprit de corps is really high. And then when you get done with the game, everybody collectively just gets to give out a big sigh of relief and then go on vacation.
Oh, that's cool.
It telling you, dudes, it's just like putting on a play when you're younger.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You know, like the curtain's going up. We're going to launch the game. Everybody stress out.
Start yelling at each other now.
Now, do you?
Totally.
Do you? I know that there's we live in a world of demos and stuff like that. Is there that same thing on once the game is released that you sit and you kind of everybody's on eggshells waiting for the reviews to come in? Or is it at that point you're like, you're already, let's go enjoy vacation and move on?
Oh, dude, it's horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kevin, when the reviews came out for Sly, I mean, did you not read all of them?
Oh, of course. I still look for reviews on Sly. Sly and Kevin Miller almost every night.
people are judging.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how can you not want to pay attention and kind of learn from it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The first game I ever did that was the lead for it was a little Japanese game called Tales of Eternia, and we've talked about this on the show before, but the reviews in the magazine said voice acting from hell, And I thought my career was finished. Fortunately, no one that was casting games had read the article. You guys didn't know that, so
no.
Which in the way the story goes is that it was poorly directed. Like, yes. You guys had no idea of the context of the lines you were saying. You
said
it this way.
There,
and you went,
there are 100 ways to screw up the voices in games.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you found a lot of them.
It's true. I'm finding more every day. I'm like, guys, can we do the lines backwards? I'm just going to say every word in reverse.
Are you that guy? Are you the guy who wants to do every little, like,
yeah.
Okay, let's just improv this one. Kevin, we can't do that.
No.
There's a time frame.
I've got a grenade.
I don't think we're going to.
We got 600 grenades. Let's get across the Bay of Pigs. Come on, Bentley.
It would take 827 man hours to just introduce grenades as a concept.
Yeah. All right. That's a wrap. That was pretty much it. That was the first session I think we had with you guys, right? Now you write all the dialogue, or I believe you wrote all the dialogue for the Sly games. Are you writing for Infamous as well?
Yeah.
Nice. Is that mainly like you take your first pass and then other people add in, or?
Yeah, we kind of mix it up. Because you know, I'm a designer, so I think about things generally from a mechanical standpoint, like where would be a good time to have a heart-to-heart conversation in the midst of this gun battle, right? How long would it feel like a good idea to talk about our feelings in the midst of this gun battle?
And then someone else will come in and be like, yeah, it's kind of a weird place for a heart-to-heart.
Yeah. I get a lot of feedback in that regard. And then, you know, I either write the scene or another guy writes the scene, kind of split it up.
That's pretty great.
Now, I know I don't want to eat up too much of your time tonight, Nate, so we'll get close to wrapping it up. I appreciate everything you've done for us so far. But I want to know, is it possible for us to get a little insider as to what's coming up after Infamous 2 that you guys are working on?
Yeah, because if we don't ask this question, I think our fans will be in revolt.
Wet the beak a little, if you would.
I honestly, I cannot say.
Oh.
Other than, I really can't say.
Well, how about this? Will you continue your exclusivity relationship with Sony?
I cannot say.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
All right.
Oh. By not saying, he's also saying kind of saying. Not
really. What did you say?
Not a leading statement.
Oh, it's not a leading statement.
Oh, okay.
No. Sony's awesome, by the way. I have to say, they are freaking rad. They.
I like the intentional censorship you're doing.
I'm trying, man. But they are. They give us a lot of good feedback, and they've got this one kick-ass focus test room down at their mothership headquarters, where you get to sit behind, you know, mirrored glass and watch people play the game.
Oh, cool!
And see people get frustrated and pissed off at your design choices, and then you go back to the office and you fix them all.
Oh, wow!
It's so spectacular.
I think I saw footage of this on the God of War collection or whatever when they did a lot of behind the making of type stuff. I think I saw them. Do you know anything about that? If they would have been in that same room or no? Because I saw they had a one-way mirror that they were, you know, sitting in there and watching the testers all play the game.
Man, I'm sure they did. It's terrific. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever watched somebody listen to your podcast.
No.
I've been with somebody as they listen to the podcast before, but never just like a fly on the wall seen them do it.
Oh, yeah. So when you were watching somebody listen to your podcast, were they nervously just making glances at you, trying to laugh at all the appropriate spots?
Hey, this is funny, right? It was usually just my wife.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, I think it's just our wives. Yeah. My wife yells at it a lot. She just, what is this about? I don't understand. Why are you talking about it? Get back to the point. So I don't let her listen.
That was the old days. We're not like that anymore. Now she doesn't listen.
Yeah, now it's like about video games that she could care less.
Right.
I was going to say about getting my wife to play, Nate, is that I had a story where my wife came to me. It was our anniversary. And she said, what do you want for your anniversary? I said, no, it's fine. Nothing. She's like, no, you got me this great gift for Valentine's Day. The least I could do is get you something. What would you want for? And I said, honestly, I would love it if you played an entire franchise mode, like just at least a year of franchise mode on on Madden with me. If you would do that, I would be so happy. And she's like, okay, yeah. Now, this was, I believe, in the year 2001. And Nate, I'm gonna ruin the end of this story for you. It is now 2011. Here's the total count of franchise mode years that my wife has played with me? None. Absolutely zero. And so here's what I'm going to tell you, boys. You don't. Why would they buy the milk if they get the cow for free or whatever it is, however it goes? I'm saying I gave it up too soon, fellas. I gave it up too soon, and now there's no incentive for her to play Madden with me. Sure, she'll tell stories of how she played by herself one time and injured Brett Favre in some game, and the ambulance came on the field, and she's so dumb when it comes to video games that she thinks that was some kind of bad button thing that she did. Like, she has no idea that it could pure happenstance is why that happened. She's like, I'm not meant to play this game. I just hurt Brett Favre. He had an ambulance come pick him up. I can't do it.
That does suck, though. Yeah. Brett Favre is an important player. Back in 2001.
I'm sorry. I'm telling more stories, Nate. It's about you. Well, let's, if we can, unless there's more questions.
Yeah, I just have a few. Some of our fans said some very important questions for you. One I thought was great. You guys have Peter McConnell. What's it like working with him?
Easy.
Yeah.
Who is he for people who don't
know?
Yeah,
sorry. He's the
composer on the Sly 2 and Sly 3 games.
And Fun Time, how does that work? You just sort of give him an idea and he runs with it?
You know, I didn't have a lot of direct communication with him. Our art director did. But, yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Whenever I'd hear the tracks, they sounded spectacular.
What are your feelings towards motion capture? This came from Mia. Because that was an Infamous 2, correct? You're using some motion capture this time around?
We are, yeah. Infamous 2 is thick with motion capture. It's awesome because you can get performances from actors and capture a lot of the spontaneity and just the exchange between the actors in the moment. So, Kevin, I mean, you know, you do VO,
yeah,
and you're in the booth and they'll say, okay, here's your line. It's I want my ball back. And you're playing off of another actor who recorded their line a week ago. Right.
Yeah.
And then you've also done ensemble recordings where you and the other actors are in the booth together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, what a world of difference it is for just playing off each other.
Yeah, voice acting from hell, and Sly Cooper has an amazing voice talent. Yeah.
Right.
World of difference.
And then picture that. So, you know, you've got ensemble voice recording. Now, picture that same situation, except you're in open three-dimensional space, and you're using your bodies to help, you know, push the action.
That's pretty cool.
So it's just so much more real and alive. So I'm a huge fan of motion capture.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I hope that all video games get access to cheaper and more efficient motion capture systems and tools, just so it goes everywhere.
Well, the problem that I have with it is that there's little chance for a chubby person like me to play a super fit, you know.
But there are other characters
or villain of some kind. Yeah, but I don't want to be typecast. I mean, listen, you hear these dulcet tones. This is not the dulcet tones of a fat guy who sits in the background. This is a leading man dulcet tones.
It's radio voice.
Right?
You have a good radio voice.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Radio guys who save the world. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know, that's a game.
Is there a way to trim up by placement of the white balls on my stomach? Is there a way to trim me up a little, like a black shirt or vertical stripes?
The mocap does not care.
It does not care. You could just—it's like making a wrestler. You could just tighten up my waistline, and it's no big deal.
We have the technology. We can do it.
Oh. Wow. We need to get some mocap in here.
I need it before my anniversary, please. That would be awesome.
Two last very important questions. What kind of cookies do you like?
Yeah, I'm a chocolate chip cookie fan.
Very good choice.
Pretty square, but dude, why go anywhere else?
Do you have a preference as far as brand, like Pepperidge Farm or Chips Ahoy or
homemade?
That would be Mom's.
Wait, the brand Mom's or your mother's?
My mother.
Got it.
Yeah. You go nuts or no nuts?
What do you think? Come on.
All right, he's nuts.
Come on,
he's nuts all the way.
Do you like Michael Jackson?
No.
Fair enough.
These are listener questions.
These are the listeners' questions. They answer good ones.
Like Michael Jackson, for real?
Yeah, and then I told them, please no questions about Sly 4, so someone asked, what do you know about Sly 5?
I can't wait to play it if it ever is.
I heard it's in 3D, like a hologram. Is that true? Can you speak to that?
I hear you.
Awesome.
You have to wear a motion capture suit while you play it. That's what I hear. I don't know if that's that's true. To get your girlfriend to play, you have to. I have one more question too. Is because I know we kind of talked about it early on, but I'd like to reiterate it because we get asked this stuff so much from our listeners. Is specifically about Sucker Punch. If somebody wanted to get a job at Sucker Punch and say they're 10, 12, what kind of education should they try to get? And if they're older and maybe they're looking to submit some resumes or a portfolio, like how do they go about doing that?
Okay, well, if you want to get a job at Sucker Punch, the first thing you got to do is you got to be good at something that we need, right? I know that's right. Kind of obvious, but like be a great audio engineer, be an awesome producer. Be a kick-ass animator or a lighter or a coder, a texture artist, all these things, you know, everything, a QA manager. You just got to be good at it and apply through our website when we post jobs and assume that I think a lot of young people think that they get to get whatever it is they want to do right off the bat.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have to kind of work up a little bit through the ranks.
Yeah.
And so assume that you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Is there a mailroom equivalent in the video game world, kind of like a lowest, you know, entry level position that say, I don't know what department I want to lean towards. Can I get into an entry level position of this?
Like an intern?
Yeah, kind of. But something that I could still make money or no?
No.
Yeah. Mm.
You gotta know what you're doing.
Okay.
And last question, because we do have a fair number of lady gamers that listen to our show. How many lady employees do you have at Sucker Punch?
Right now, about 8.
Oh, okay. Out of that 100. So we have just about that many listeners that are women.
I'm just saying, we need more ladies in video games.
Got it.
I'm just saying.
What departments are they in?
Oh,
all of
them.
All of them. Yeah.
What if he said cooking?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. You're going to be like, they're the HR and the receptionist.
Lunch making, foot massages. That'd be horrible. I'm sorry, Nate, if I put you in bed.
I just want to know, how did you know that I had a professional masseuse come in and rub my feet every day?
Your Sucker Punch?
I try to keep that a secret.
It's all over your Facebook, bro. I can tell just by the smile on your face. It just looked, that guy gets his feet rubbed on a regular basis.
Oh, but what I say is dirty.
Yes, you get something else.
Well, Nate, thank you very much for taking an hour of your evening to hang out with us. It's very much appreciated. Do you have any closing thoughts or anything we should have asked?
No. You know what? I'll tell you one thing to anybody who's interested in getting into games, and this is not a joke. You have to work a lot.
Like a lot of hours?
Yes. So it's 8:30 at night.
Right.
At least in Seattle where I'm at. And I am not going to go home for many hours.
Oh, really?
I will be working all weekend long. And so expect that when you get into the industry.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not saying that as like a dire warning so much as just like that's the reality of it. And if you're going to decide that you want to do it, you should be aware that it's some long hours sometimes.
That's a good piece of advice. But that is offset in your guys' case, right? Because when you're done with this title, everybody gets a little summer vacation time.
For like a year?
Totally. I get 7 years off, man.
Is that in dog years? Or?
Well, I'm only saying it because I think some people have a false sense of what it must be like.
Yeah, I think
it's a 9 to 5, punch a clock, go home, do what you play games.
There's certainly those times, but the crunch mode is part of the industry. And
how long does crunch mode?
I think it's always when.
How long does crunch mode last? Like how is that 6 months?
It's different, you know, in every game.
Yeah,
You know, 6 months. That sounds great.
Wow. So for half a year, you're in working 12, 14-hour days.
Oh yeah, not always 12. Okay. It depends, you know, on what you're doing at the time. But I'm just always surprised when I talk to people who are interested in games and I start to tell them about some of the hours and their eyes just kind of get horrified. Oh, somebody should have told you, or here's a pro tip. Fall in love before you go into the industry.
Got it. Sounds a lot like marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time. Yeah,
I feel horrible now knowing that you have to keep working and we just took an hour.
Oh, it's cool. We're just getting down to the wire on Infamous 2, and so I really want it to be as awesome as possible. So that's what keeps me going.
So if it's not awesome, it's our fault. Is that what we should take away from that?
I think that's what we should offer up.
Any
shortcoming that is in Infamous 2 is the fault of the Second Funniest Podcast and not the actual developers.
Right.
That they spent as many hours as they could minus this one plus some. Change, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
So, I really appreciate you taking responsibility.
Hey, if you want to slap it on at the end of some credits, that's fine.
That's great. Yeah, just put it in there.
Just put it in there. A special thanks to for anything you didn't like about this game. Go to facebook.com/.
Please do that.
Nate, I can't thank you enough. Very, very much.
Dudes.
Thank you.
Have a kick-ass Friday night.
So that was our interview with Nate Fox.
That was my favorite.
That was good. I honestly didn't think he would. I don't know if this is going to make him sound like a jerk, but I think in the end it makes him sound good. Is that I didn't think we were going to get that much time with him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. I thought we'd get 20 minutes because I knew he was busy. But I think he was eating dinner, which is cool.
And it was the poor guy. We didn't have a video feed, but I thought that was funny, too, that he's staring at my wall. Like
right.
The laptop is sitting between you and I. All he could see on my video camera was the wall.
I didn't want to be on his camera the whole time. Just
I literally. Feel really bad about how many hours he's put in today. And how many hours he has yet to do over the weekend.
But the thing about Nate is he loves it. I mean, that's what is so great about him is just enthusiasm and passion just comes out from all parts of him.
And out of that, like, little, the positive, I don't know, maybe it seemed discouraging with the amount of hours that he was saying that people put in and everything, but I want to take some time, because we talked about it before we started recording this episode, to say thank you to our fans, new and old.
Yeah.
We have a lot of really cool people that are writing into the Facebook, very funny people. I'm having a good time. I know I don't interact as much because I have a kid and that's my excuse. I apologize. Maybe it's because I don't care as much.
No,
maybe we could go there.
You don't care.
I don't.
But that's okay.
But I do read and I do giggle.
For both of us.
I do giggle and I do laugh.
Right.
And I appreciate it very, very much. And we hope that we continue to give you guys a show that you love.
That's right. So if you're not yet, meet us on Facebook, Second Funniest Podcast, and follow us on Twitter, Second Funniest.
Yep.
Please do.
The podcast don't fit.
That's
you can send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or give us a call 408-228-4911. I think that's all we have. This show has been brought to you by audible.com.
Yeah.
We could definitely plug that. Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on the banner at the top of the website and get a free audiobook download from audible.com. You can also go to justincomedy.com and purchase my new comedy CD, Justin Worsham Paternally Challenged, because I'm not a good father and it's funny.
You're so post-ironic. You make fun of yourself.
Yeah,
afterwards.
I think that's what you meant.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So, on behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye. Robot Rock.